Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2016. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1950-51 season and the Phil Harris Show from the 1950-51 season. I hope you're enjoying me bringing them to you back-to-back. They originally were presented on the same night, back-to-back. You just had to switch channels to get to Phil's show after Jack's show is over. In this case, you don't have to do that anymore because I just got them linked together, so you just listen on through and you get a chance to hear them both. What I really like about tonight is the sound quality of both episodes is absolutely fabulous. Probably the best sound quality we've had from both episodes, the Jack Benny Show and the Phil Harris Show, that I can remember. So it's just a really nice, smooth listen. Jack's show's a little freewheeling this time. There's some ad-libbing going on, it sounds like. And Jack makes fun of Dennis's script and whether Dennis has the right script and so forth. It's just a fun episode all the way around. And they're talking about golfer Ben Hogan, who is a famous golfer. He's going to appear on Jack's fourth television show, which we don't have. It no longer exists. Well, I think it exists somewhere, but nowhere where we can actually get to it. But I think they maybe redid the episode or else just had Ben Hogan on again a number of years later. So if I can find that episode that does exist from, I think it's the 1960 season, somewhere in there, 61, 62. Anyway, if I can find that, I will post that on my website. And also the script for this episode that Jack's going to be talking about, his fourth television episode, because we do have the script for it. So I'll post both those things so you can look and compare and see if it's the same episode or not. I haven't even checked into that yet. Also, thank you for the folks who've been donating. I have just created a new video section that's a separate Dropbox drive. So now I have two terabytes to play with and two different drives. So we should have plenty of room for a while. The donations basically are if you want access to, of course, they all just help us pay for the broadband that we use up so quickly. But the donations help for sure. And if you donate at the $25 level, you get access to all of Jack Benny's podcasts that I've ever done. If you donate at the $39 level, you get access to all the Jack Benny podcasts, plus all the other podcasts I've ever done, including all my guest podcasters, Rob and Stacy and Mindy and everybody else, along with all the other shows I've ever done. At the $50 level, you get access to, of course, all those podcasts, plus a lot of shows that I haven't done intros to, but are in my collection, my high-quality shows, the Phil Harris's, the Jack Benny collection, and you also get access to, I've been making sound files of the Johnny Carson's Tonight shows, which are really cool, and so I have, I think, 130 of those or something for you to listen to if you like. And that's, of course, at that level, at the $50 level. At the $60 level, I throw in Jack's television show. I think I have 140 of Jack's television shows. And then at the $75 level, I just throw in everything, including my huge Johnny Carson selection that keeps growing bigger and bigger. I think it's 130 shows strong. So anyway, if you feel like donating at any of those levels, I'll send you links to get to my library so you can see what I've got. And thank you so much for supporting the podcast. And without further ado, here is Jack Benny and Phil Harris, both their shows from 65 years ago this week, as of 2016 anyway. And I hope you enjoy them both. Excellent sound quality, and we'll see you next time. Oh, and to make donations, just go to buckbenny.com. And that'll take you right to my podcast page. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button that you can put any amount you want in there. Or if you want to use the pull-down that's below that, there's a pull-down that lets you choose a level. And either way will work fine. If you want to get to the scripts and to the Ben Hogan, Jack Benny television show, then just go to, of course, buckbenny.com again, and it should be right there at the front of the page if you're listening to this as I release it. Anyway, thank you.
65.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky, strike today.
Try every brand in this great land and you'll agree with me. The finest tasting cigarette is LSMFT. Yes, sirree. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
We're heading for a picnic and we'll have a lot of fun with better tasting Lucky Strikes for each and every one.
Honestly, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. And here's the reason. Fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, always gives you the enjoyment of a better tasting cigarette. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. Tobacco that smokes smooth and mild, that gives you better taste with every puff. Yes, Lucky Strike, and Lucky Strike alone, gives you an extra measure of smoking pleasure. So for everything you want in a cigarette, for complete smoking enjoyment, be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, on next Sunday, Jack Benny will be in New York doing another television show. And right now, he's home packing for the trip.
Gee, this is my fourth trip to New York this season. I like to travel. No, Polly, you can't go with me this time. I don't know where to live in New York. I wonder if I should stay at the Acme Plaza Hotel again. Yeah, I guess so. They're so considerate. They always give me a room with congenial people. Yeah, I guess I'll stay there. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
I hope you're packing enough clothes. You know, we'll be gone for 10 days.
Oh, yes, I've packed enough for both of us. Your pinstripe suit, my herringbone suit, your blue suit, my brown suit, your gray suit, and my tweed suit.
No, no, Rochester, it's my tweed suit. Remember, I want it back. You know, I beat you on that last poker hand. Don't you remember I had 4 aces?
Oh, yeah, I only had 3.
You know, it's fun playing with all the red cards wild. Now, finish the packing and remember what I told you. Remember what I told you to put in the suitcase.
Oh, boy.
Rochester, I don't care what you say. I'm taking it with me. So put it in my suitcase. I want to wear it on my arrival in New York.
Boss, if people want to throw ticker tape, they'll throw it. You don't have to wear that old army cap.
Well, maybe you're right. Anyway, after you finish packing, go out and polish the car.
Polish the car? Why?
Why? Because we're driving it to New York.
That car? Quiet, Polly. I'll handle this myself.
Rochester, there's nothing to handle. I'm driving my car to New York. And to keep the cost down, I put an ad in the paper for passengers to share expenses. In fact, I expect several people to drop in and see me. Well, I'm waiting. How come you have no comment on that?
I never interfere with a plot line.
Thank you. Hey, maybe that's someone now. Come in. Oh, it's you, Dennis. Come on in.
Thank you.
Dennis, what do you got in that package?
My pajamas. Can I sleep here tonight?
Well, I don't see why not. Well, why don't you sleep at home?
Oh, I don't like to be in a big house alone.
Alone?
Yeah, my parents did it again.
Did what?
Moved away and didn't tell me where.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Dennis, what did you do wrong this time?
Well, if I tell you, you'll only side in with them.
Well, not necessarily, Dennis. What did you do?
I got up early this morning and fed the goldfish.
Well, why should your parents get mad at that?
I fed them to our cat.
Well, Dennis, that's the most awful thing that I've ever...
I knew you'd side in with them.
Well, certainly. Who could be on your side?
The cat.
Now, look, Dennis, if you want to stay here tonight, you can. But right now, leave me alone because I'm busy packing.
Why? You going someplace?
Yes, I'm going to New York. See, next Sunday, I'm doing my television show.
Oh, who's going to be with you this time, Mr. Benny?
Well, I'm going to have Rochester and Mary and Bob Crosby and another special guest.
Who?
Well, I'll give you a hint. He's one of the world's greatest golfers.
Uh-huh.
He won the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the Masters Tournament in Augusta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And they just made a picture about him at 20th Century Fox called Follow the Sun. Now, who is it?
Ben Hogan.
Hey. Hey, that's right, Dennis.
And the name of the actor who played his part in the picture is Glenn Schwinn.
No, no, Dennis. That's Glenn Ford. That's Glenn Ford.
I know, but if you mention Schwinn, they send you a bicycle.
Well, Dennis, I didn't think you'd stoop so low as to... Tell him to put a bell on mine, will you? What's the matter there, Early? Something off in your script? I didn't... By the way, Dennis, what song... Dennis, what song are you going to do on the program today?
Well, I'm going to sing a wonderful number I just recorded for RCA Victor called Mr. and Mississippi.
Well, let me hear it, Dennis, before you put on your pajamas and go... Oh, hold it a minute, kid.
Okay.
There's the phone. Hello?
This is the long-distance operator.
Long distance?
Yes, I have a call from you from San Luis Obispo for Beanie.
Beanie? The name is Benny.
Gee, I thought I was talking to a television star.
Well, you are. As a matter of fact, next Sunday...
Here's your party.
Oh.
Hello, Jackson.
Phil, what are you doing in San Luis Obispo?
Me and my band played at one of the dance halls up here last night.
You did? How did things go?
Well, that's what I'm calling about. How would you like to do a little bail bond business?
Phil, you mean you and your boys are in jail?
I ain't calling from no drugstore.
What?
Good health to all from City Hall.
Phil, what happened at the dance that you boys got in such trouble?
Well, I get this call to come up here and play for the San Luis Obispo chapter of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Soft-Shell Crabs.
Well, I didn't know they had a chapter in San Luis Obispo.
The main office is in Pismo Beach.
Oh.
Anyway, we come to the hall, we set up our instruments and start playing for the dance.
Uh-huh.
Everything goes along fine until about 10:30 when it's time for the waltz contest.
Uh-huh.
Suddenly someone in the crowd yells out, "Hey, Harris, how about singing That's What I Like About the South?"
Uh-uh.
Operator, you keep out of it. Go ahead, Phil.
So I start singing that little number that made me famous.
That was at 10:30.
Yeah, and at 1 o'clock in the morning with 20 courses to go, somebody dyed my hair with a ripe tomato.
No.
And before you could say spade coolie, everybody started throwing things at us. Them soft-shell crabs are murdered.
Phil, you mean they threw soft-shell crabs at you?
No, the crabs were throwing them too.
That must have been quite a rhubarb.
You ain't kidding, Dad. Everybody was in there fighting but Frankie.
Frankie Remley?
Yeah, he's just sitting there unconcerned until a Hubbard squash knocks the bottle out of his mouth.
Gee.
At this, he jumps up, runs around the back of the hall, and pulls the main light switch. But they could still see the bandstand, and we're getting it from all directions.
Well, Phil, how could they see the bandstand if the lights were on?
My drummer's head glows in the dark.
yes. You shouldn't have painted that moon on it.
All right, all right. And then about 2 o'clock...
Bill.
When the police came in...
Bill.
What?
Hang up.
Maybe you're right, Jackson. From here on, it just gets ridiculous. Now, how about that bail money?
I'll send it, I'll send it.
Now, for 18 men, it amounts to...
I know how much it amounts to. This is the 3rd time this year. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jackson. Goodbye.
That Harris can get into more trouble than anybody I ever saw.
Will you keep quiet so I can sing?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Dennis. Go ahead.
Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home.
I can't recall my mother, I don't remember Dad. Mr. and Mississippi was all I ever had. Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home.
Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home.
My cradle was the river, my school a river boat. My teacher was a gambler, the slickest one afloat. My teacher was a gambler, the slickest one afloat. He taught me not to gamble on a petticoat.
Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, I was born to wander,
I was born to roam,
and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home.
Oh, Betty May, I love you. I love you, Betty May. I love you like a barefoot boy loves a summer day. The way a wandering gypsy loves the changing scene. Just like that restless river loves old New Orleans.
Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home.
I love the tiny village, a quiet country town, a house, a little garden with kitties running round. I'd be a faithful husband, oh, I'd be a trusting friend, until I heard that steamboat coming round the bend.
Well, I was born to wander, I was born to roam, and Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, I was born to wander,
I was born to roam,
and Mr. and Mississippi
made me feel at home.
That was very good, Dennis. Mr. and Mississippi. Would you mind sending me a record of it?
Well, you can buy one for 85 cents.
Well, what's on the other side?
Mule Train by Lily Pond.
Cut that out, will you, Dennis? You know, Dennis, I just can't shout anymore. You know what I mean? Dennis, sometimes you say the silliest...
Want me to get that, boss?
No, I'll get it. Oh, hello, Don.
Well, hello, Jack. Just came over to say goodbye and wish you good luck on your TV show.
Oh, thanks, Don. Come on in. Say, Don, you know, I have a wonderful idea for a commercial on my television show. I'm going to have the quartet come on, dressed
well,
up.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute. The sportsmen won't be able to be with you in New York.
They won't? Why not?
Well, they're opening at the Chicago Theater on May 18th.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Don. How can they do a thing like that to me? The season's not even over yet, and they have the nerve to go out and play a theater.
But, Jack, you booked them.
Oh, yes. Well, Don, look it. Then you'll have to do the commercial.
Me?
Yes.
But, Jack, just standing up doing a commercial on TV isn't funny. I won't get any laughs.
Well, maybe you're... Hey, wait a minute, Don. I just thought of a wonderful idea. Now, every announcer does his commercials standing up.
Well, of course. How else can you do it?
Well, just for a novelty, this will be great on television. I'll have you lying on a chaise lounge with a rose in your hair and a lucky strike in your mouth. Huh? And when you read the commercial, everybody will scream.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Nobody's going to laugh at anything that corny, and I'm not going to do it.
Don, it'll get laughs, believe me. Now, Don, let's try it. Now, make believe we have a chaise lounge here. Now, lie down on the floor.
Oh, Jack, this is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of.
Don, believe me, I know what I'm doing. It'll be terrific. Now, lie down on the floor.
Oh, all right.
But do it gently. We don't want to disturb the seismograph at Berkeley. Now, Don, look, I'll hold the microphone. I'll hold the microphone down close to your face there. Now, go ahead, Don. Read the commercial. They'll love it. They'll scream.
Well, okay. L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. There's never a rough puff in a Lucky Strike, and it tastes better than any other cigarette. Yes, folks, it's Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Don, Don, talk louder. The radio waves aren't getting over your stomach. Go ahead, continue.
Yes, Lucky Strike and Lucky Strike alone gives you an extra measure of smoking pleasure. So for everything you want in a cigarette, for complete smoking enjoyment, be happy, go lucky!
Get up. That's it, get up. Now, wasn't that clever? And listen, Don, I've got a Lulu for the next television show.
Oh, no.
You're going to read the commercial while standing in quicksand. Of course, you may have to talk fast to finish it, or the last few lines will sound like Shep Fields. Now, Don, if you'll excuse me, I've got to finish my packing.
Oh, that's all right, Jack. I've got to run along anyway. It's Mother's Day, and I haven't got my mother a present yet.
Oh.
Gee, I don't know what to buy her.
Well, Don, I would suggest flowers or perfume or maybe a box of fudge.
A box of fudge? Hey, that sounds good.
There you are, Don.
Here, Jack.
Thanks. Well, so long, Don. See you later.
Goodbye, Jack.
Rochester, put back the perfume and the flowers. He took the fudge. You know, that's really going good today, isn't it?
That goes good every day. I wish we could get rid of some of these petunias.
We will, we will. Now, let's see. I'll have to...
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, are you still here?
Yeah, as long as I got my pajamas, I think I'll go upstairs and go to bed.
All right, Dennis. You take the lower bunk.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see.
Boss, you haven't got bunks in your room. It's just a single bed.
Well, he doesn't know the difference. He sleeps under it, you know. Now, come on, Rochester. Let's finish our... There's the doorbell. I'll get it. Oh. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? Are you the little old party who advertised for passengers to New York?
Why, yes. Yes, I am. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you.
Have a seat, Miss... Miss...
I'm Miss Lee. Scarlett O'Hara Lee.
Scarlett O'Hara. Oh, you must have been named after the heroine in Gone with the Wind.
Yes. You see, my mother was crazy about Gone with the Wind, and I was born while she was in the middle of it.
Reading the book?
No, watching the picture.
Well, it was a long picture, you know. Now, Miss Lee, about the trip to New York...
Excuse me, but y'all didn't tell me your name.
Benny. I'm Jack Benny.
Jack Benny? The radio comedian?
That's me.
Say something funny.
Well... Rochester, what are you doing?
Calling one of your riders.
Never mind. Now, Miss Lee, getting back to the trip, you see, I intend to leave for New York tomorrow.
Well, that suits me just fine.
Oh, by the way, Miss Lee, what are you going to New York for? Look for a job?
No, I don't need a job. I came into a lot of money when my uncle in Texas passed away.
Oh, was your uncle in Texas rich?
No, but when they were digging his grave, they struck oil.
What a way to go.
Now, Mr. Benny, on your way to New York, would y'all mind driving through Chattanooga?
Chattanooga, Tennessee? Why?
Well, that's my hometown. And next week they're holding their annual Fritter Fry, Cone Pone, Chitlin, and Hominy Possum Bake Festival.
Yeah, I wish Phil Harris were here to interpret that for me. All I understood was and festival. Well, I'm very sorry, Miss Lee, but that's a little too far out of the way. You see, we're going through Salt Lake City, Cheyenne, Omaha, and Chicago. Wouldn't you like to go the northern route?
If you weren't so cute, I'd slap your face.
Well, you're cute, too.
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny, but I wouldn't miss that little old festival for all the yams in Louisiana.
Well, I'm sorry, too. Anyway, it was nice meeting you, Miss Lee. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Gee, I... Gee, I'm sorry she's not making the trip with us. We're giving me someone to play gin rummy with. Well, I better finish.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, I thought you went to bed.
I did, but I was tossing and turning. I can't fall asleep.
Why not?
You forgot to kiss me goodnight.
Dennis, go back under the bed.
Yes, sir.
Rochester, when he goes in the room, lock the door so he won't... I'll get it. Yes?
How do you do? Are you the party that advertised about a trip to New York?
Yes, yes, I am.
Oh, well, I'm Mr. Parsons, and this is my wife.
How do you do?
Well, come right in, and... Oh, what a cute little baby. Is it a boy or a girl?
A boy.
Yeah, I thought so. Looks like it from here. Here, sit down, Mrs. Parsons. You must be tired carrying the baby.
Thank you very much.
Hello, baby. A kitchy kitchy goo. Oh, look. His eyes are just like mine, aren't they?
Are your eyes blue?
Bluer than the right shoulder of a left-handed iceman. Now, Mr. Parsons, do you and your wife... Oh, silly me, I forgot to introduce myself.
Oh, I know you. You're Jack Benny. I used to see you every Sunday afternoon.
You did? Oh, are you in radio?
Yes. I'm a janitor at NBC.
Well, how come you're going to New York?
CBS bought me.
Oh.
Now, Mr. Benny... Could we take a look at your car and see if there'd be room for the baby?
Well, of course, certainly. It's right out in the driveway. That's... Right this way, folks. Well, here's the car. What's wrong with the baby?
Mr. Benny, is this the car you're driving to New York?
Yes, and if you'd like, I'll give you a demonstration. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss?
I want to take these people for a drive.
Coming!
Now, come on, folks, jump in.
We'll have to. There's no door.
It's around on the other side. Come on. Now, go ahead, Rochester. Start the car.
Yes, sir.
Something's wrong with the motor. Rochester, did you clean the spark plugs this morning?
I not only cleaned them, I had a long talk with them.
Never mind, try it again.
Yes, sir.
Ah, there we are. Now, Rochester, drive down towards Sunset Boulevard.
Wait a minute, Mr. Benny. Before you start, I'd like to change places with my wife.
Why?
I'm afraid she's uncomfortable. And I think I have the softer orange crate.
Oh. Oh. It's quite all right, John.
See how nice she runs? The way she takes the bumps? Isn't it nice with the top down?
Yes, it is.
John, look at the baby. He's grown hair.
That's mine. It blew off. Don't drive so fast, Rochester. I'll take it a little easier.
What was that?
Our taillight just fell off.
That's all it was. I guess it wasn't on very tight.
What was that?
One of the hubcaps.
Well, you see, those are things that we can easily...
Well, there goes the fender.
Well, for heaven's sake, aren't you going to stop and pick them up?
No, later we turn around and follow them. That's where we find our way back home.
Rochester, stop making things up. These people are interested in taking the trip with me to New York.
Mr. Benny, I don't think we'll be interested in making the trip in this car.
Just a minute, Mr. Parsons. You shouldn't back out just because a few minor things went wrong. What could that could happen to any car?
I'm sorry, but I wouldn't risk going another block in this old junk.
Old junk? Look, it's not brand new, but they don't make cars like this anymore.
Mr. Benny, I'm a janitor, and I've swept up better things than this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, look, Mr. Parsons.
Mr. Benny, I don't want to argue about it. Come on, honey. Let's get out of the car. We'll take the bus.
Yes, dear.
Some people can never be satisfied.
You're right, boss. You'd think they'd at least give the car a fair trial.
A fair trial?
Yeah, we ain't out of the driveway yet.
Oh, well, come on. Let's push it back into the garage, right?
Just a moment, but first...
Some golfers like a 7-iron and others like a 3, but most of them pick Lucky Strike 'cause LSMFT. Try a pack today, because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Make your smoking joy complete when buying cigarettes. Enjoy the milder, better taste a Lucky smoker gets.
You see, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, when you smoke, you want real enjoyment. And that's exactly why you should switch to Lucky Strike. Because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Yes, every Lucky always gives you mildness, smoothness, far better taste than any other cigarette you've ever smoked. And here's why. Fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, always gives you the enjoyment of a better tasting cigarette. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. So for complete smoking enjoyment, be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike. You'll find Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Happy Mother's Day and good night, folks.
Please turn to hear Dennis Day and the Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned to the Amos Manley Show, which follows immediately. Program is heard by our armed forces overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Oh. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Rose Marie, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris.
Hi, everybody. This is Phil, and here's a word from RCA Victor.
It's America's smartest television buy. RCA Victor million-proof television in a smart RCA Victor console cabinet. Here is television that's better looking in every way. Every one of these superb models brings you world-famous RCA Victor million-proof television. Quality proven in over 2 million homes. Television with such exclusive RCA Victor features as the Eyewitness Picture Synchronizer and RCA Victor's Golden Throat Tone System. And every one is a masterpiece of fine cabinetry, too. There are period models like the Regency and the Rutland and the Hillsdale. Classic models with the dignified simplicity of the provincial. Clean-lined, functional beauties like the modern on a swivel base. You'll be proud to have one of these console cabinet beauties in your home. So step into your RCA Victor dealers tomorrow and pick out your RCA Victor television console. You'll agree, RCA Victor million-proof television in a console cabinet is America's smartest television. Better looking in every way. Mr. Scott, the sponsor, has arranged a big Mother's Day party today for the employees of the RCA Victor Company. Alice and Phil and their mothers have been invited.
You know, Alice, I think it's swell of Mr. Scott to have a party for all of us and our mothers.
Yes. And you know, Mr. Scott is offering a prize for the mother who is the best cook and one for the prettiest mother. I'm sure my mom will win the prettiest mother contest.
Silly girl. When it comes to looks, my mom is known as the middle-aged Ava Gardner.
Well, that's a novelty. A middle-aged man with a middle-aged mother. Well, I know my mother will win it, but if you don't believe me, ask anybody. Like my brother Willie. Oh, Willie? Willie, whose mother is prettier, ours or Phil's?
I think Philip's mother is prettier.
Really, how can you pick his mother over ours?
Because Philip gave me $5 to say it, and you didn't offer me a nickel.
I should have known better than to ask you. I'll ask the children. Baby Alice, who do you think is prettier, Grandma Harris or Grandma Faye?
Oh, I think Grandma Harris is prettier.
I'm going to cut this off without a penny. What made you pick Grandma Harris?
Because she looks just like Daddy.
That's a nasty thing to say about your own grandmother.
The trouble with you, Faye, is you're just jealous of the Harris family beauty. It's our Indian blood that gives us our fine classical features of the true early American. Oh, well, it serves me right. Grandmother told me never to marry a pale face.
Mother never liked me.
Well, why should she? You don't make any effort to get along with her.
Now, how can you say that? Once a month, I go out to see her at the reservation.
Big thing. She goes to see her at the reservation. But you never hold a conversation with her.
I tried to, but she doesn't understand me.
She would if you took smoke signal lessons, like I told you.
Oh, Phil, let's not argue. Both our mothers are pretty. But I'm sure my mother will win the prize for the best cook. Have you ever tried her corned beef and cabbage?
You haven't lived until you've tasted my mother's buffalo meat blintzes. And as for her dried corn popovers, well, they're just... come in.
Hiya, Curly.
Ah, hello, Frankie.
Happy Mother's Day, Alice. I brought you a present.
Oh, thank you, Frankie. What is it?
A greeting card. Go ahead, read it out loud.
Okay. To a sick aunt. A sick aunt?
Well, they're all out of Mother's Day cards. But I like the sentiment of this one. Go ahead, read it.
Okay. It grieves us so to see you ill, lying there so white and still. So get out of bed as soon as you're able. We need the sheet for the dining room table. What kind of a card is that for Mother's Day?
I hope you gave your own mother something nicer than that.
Well, naturally. You see, in my youth, I was a bit of a problem. And as a result of my adolescent escapades, Mother has grown old before her time. But I think the present I gave her today will remedy that.
Oh? What'd you give her?
A gift certificate for a facelifting job.
Oh, what a lovely gift.
Well, if you like it, Alice, I'll get one for you, too.
All right. This boy's always thinking of the welfare of his loved ones. Like last year, the doctor said his grandmother needed some rest and quiet, that she should get away from the hustle and bustle of city life. And you know what Frankie did?
What?
He bought her a due bill for a 2 weeks vacation and a duck blind.
Greater love hath no man.
Say, Frankie, are you taking your mother to the party tonight?
Of course. Who's having a party?
Mr. Scott's having a party for all the employees and their mothers.
And he didn't invite me?
Oh, don't feel bad, Frankie.
Well, it's all right. If he doesn't want me, he doesn't want me. But I'll get even with him. When Mother and me get to his party, we won't talk to him.
Emily, you can't take your mother to a party you haven't been invited to.
I have to. Mom's going to think it's awful funny that the company has a big party and doesn't invite the president and his mother.
Ramley, you didn't tell your mother that you're the president of RCA Victor.
Oh, of course not. I couldn't tell her a fib like that.
Thank goodness.
She thinks I'm still president of the Rexall Company. How can Scotty do this to my mother?
All right, all right. Don't get upset, Frankie. It was probably an oversight. He wouldn't do... Wait a minute. Come in. Hey, it's Scotty.
Hello, Mr. Scott.
Hello, Mrs. Harris. Mr. Harris, I was... Oh, hello, Remley.
Don't you talk to me.
Harris, what's bothering Lefty the Lush?
You know what's bothering me. You're having a party tonight. You didn't invite me. Why?
The party is only for employees and their mothers.
Well, I have a mother.
Oh, you're kidding. I'm sorry, Remley, but the thought didn't occur to me that you ever had a mother.
Where'd you think I came from?
I thought you just accumulated like the sediment at the bottom of a beer barrel.
Mr. Scott, you're a nasty old man. But in spite of your nastiness, I want you to know that I hate you.
Frankie, Mr. Scott is a very nice person, and you're the only one I know who hates him.
I am not. Got my mother working on it, too.
Oh, keep quiet. Mrs. Harris, I'm planning a little entertainment tonight, and I was wondering if I could get somebody to sing for us.
My mother will be glad to sing.
Your mother sings, Harris?
Oh, sure. You ought to hear Mom's rendition of The Thing in Cherokee.
Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind.
It ain't, huh? Then I'll be glad to sing for you.
That ain't what I had in mind either. Mrs. Harris, I thought perhaps you'd sing.
Oh, I'll be glad to.
What do you want me to do?
You can be one of the judges for the contests, Harris.
Oh, okay.
As you know, I am personally donating all the prizes. I don't like to brag.
Then don't.
What's the first prize, Mr. Scott?
Well, you've seen that beautiful RCA Victor 19-inch television set I have in my home.
You're giving away a television set?
No, no, but the winner will be allowed to come over to my house and watch a whole Hopalong Cassidy picture free of charge.
Well, I don't think my mother'd be interested in the first prize. She's a Tim McCoy fan. Why stay? Corn Pops. And it really is. Look, Mr. Scott, what would Mom get if she won second prize?
A free ride on a 45 RPM record player. No.
Remley, will you please keep out of this?
Not unless you invite me to your party.
All right, all right, you can come.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Scott, is there anything in particular you'd like to have me sing tonight?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, Mrs. Harris. I wrote a little song that I think might be appropriate for the occasion.
Oh, how nice. What's the name of it?
I call it That RCA Mother of Mine.
That's cute, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. It has a nice saleable sentiment to it. I think, though, it should have an arrangement for cash register, don't you? I got an idea, Scotty. Why don't you let Alice and me do a duet?
What duet?
The Letter. It's a record we made for your company. I'll tell you what, we'll sing it for you right now. The record sells for 85 cents. Do you want to pay us now, or would you like to wait until we finish?
I'll wait.
Righto. I had planned to be wed to a redhead named Red, but I had to go away. Now to Red I was true, and I thought she was too, till she wrote me a letter one day, reading,
"Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so farewell to you, dear John.
Dear John, dear John."
In Paris I met a brunette named Yvette, c'est sure la femme, she was my chérie. The wedding was set, but Yvette, I regret, sent the following letter to me, reading,
"Dear Jean, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so I do to you, dear Jean.
Dear Jean, dear Jean."
I'm in Dublin one day on the loose, and I asked Kitty O'Shea, I said, "Kit, would you be my Colleen?" A letter she wrote, and inside of her note, sure a shamrock was pressed in between, reading,
"Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so farewell to you, dear John.
Dear John, dear John."
When sweet Lilani showed Hawaii to me, I fell for her native charm. "Give me something," said I, "to remember you by." So she drew a tattoo on my arm,
boing!
Reading,
"Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so aloha to you, dear John.
Dear John, dear John."
But now I got Sal, just a hillbilly gal. She's pretty, she's big, and she's dumb, a buttermilk drinker. She's learned how to fight, but she ain't learned to write, so's I reckon no letter will come. Reading,
"Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so farewell to you, dear John. Dear John, dear John."
"What's my name?"
"Clyde."
That song will be perfect for tonight, Mrs. Harris.
You know something, Scotty? I can't wait for your party tonight. Gee whiz, we ought to have a lot of fun.
Well, I hope the rest of you will, but I don't think it will be a very pleasant occasion for me. You see, my mother isn't coming.
Can't stand the sight of you, huh?
It's not that. Mother lives in the East. She was flying out here for the party, but she was forced down in Chicago.
Her arms get tired?
Will you please keep quiet? It won't be much of a party for me, but I'll make the best of it. Well, I have to be running along. I'll see you all at the party tonight. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Scott.
So long, Scotty.
Oh, Phil, I feel terrible about Mr. Scott. He'll be the only one whose mother isn't here.
Yeah, that's right. And the guy should be near his mother on Mother's Day. I feel sorry for him, too. Don't you, Framley?
My heart cries for him, dies for him.
All right, never mind, never mind.
Curly, maybe we ought to...
Wait a minute, just hold it, will you? Come in.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Julius.
Hey, how you, kid? What you got there?
And as much as this is Mother's Day, I have brung a present for the fairest flower in all the land. Here you are.
Thank you, son. Now you may kiss my cheek. I'll just put these in the
box.
Get
your grubby paws off of them dandelions. They're for Miss Fay.
Oh, it's very sweet of you, Julius, and I love dandelions.
I knew you would. And they're very practical, too. When the bloom is gone, you can make wine out of them.
What are you trying to do, make a wino out of my wife?
What did you get your mother, Julius?
I bought her a crash helmet.
A crash helmet?
Yeah. She's the anchor man for the women's roller derby team. Now, she loves skating. She's always on roller skates.
Don't they get rusty when she takes a bath?
She don't wear them in the house. Except for the time when she lost her skate key. For 2 days, she couldn't get her skates off. Pop almost left her.
Why?
How would you like to wake up in the middle of the night with cold wheels running up and down your...
Has your mother always been a roller skater?
Oh, no, she used to be in vaudeville. She was one of the greatest mimics in the business. Her best imitation is Jimmy Durante.
Say, Julius, maybe you could bring your mother to Mr. Scott's Mother's Day party tonight to entertain.
I'll be glad to. Sounds like it ought to be a lot of fun.
Well, it will be for everybody except Mr. Scott. Poor man. His mother won't be there.
Yeah, and I wish we could help him. It's his party, and he ought to have a mother.
Why don't you call Abby Rents and hire one for him?
Don't be crude.
Hey, say, that gives me an idea. Excuse me, fellas. Hiring a mother isn't such a bad idea. Mr. Scott ought to have a mother this evening, and I'm gonna get him one. I'll go over and see Mrs. West. She plays mother roles in pictures, and she'd be perfect. Oh, Phil, I'll be right back.
Okay, honey. Oh, gee whiz, that Scotty should have a mother tonight. I wish I could help him. Hey, excuse me a minute, fellas. My sponsor needs a mother, I'll hire him one. And I'll get one who looks the part. Now, let's see. Where does a guy go to find a mother who looks like a television set? Hey, Remley.
Huh?
Entertain Julius. I'll be back in a minute.
What do you mean I should entertain him?
You hired a Mac, entertain me. Do some tricks. Walk over some hot coals in your bare feet.
I'll be quiet. I haven't got time now. I gotta do something. Excuse me. Scotty was nice enough to invite me to the party, so I'm gonna get somebody to play his mother. She ought to resemble Scotty, but where can I find a mother with a mustache and a horrible disposition? No, I won't be vindictive. I'll get him a pretty mother.
Hey, Julius, talk to yourself. I'll be right back.
What kind of a house is this? Everybody goes off and leaves me alone. Gee, it's a shame about Mr. Scott. He ought to have a mother for the party. Hey, I got an idea. Mom, are you home? Hey, Mom!
What?
Mom, you gotta stop imitating Judy Holliday. You've been talking like that ever since you seen Born Yesterday.
All right. What do you want already?
I want you to pretend that you're somebody's mother.
Why do you want me to pretend I'm somebody's mother, Mac?
Stop imitating me! Look, Mom, Mr. Scott Scott's having a party tonight, and his mother won't be there, so I want you to pretend you're her. Can you imitate somebody old?
Of course I can, son. Gentlemen of the jury, don't send this boy to jail.
Not Lionel Barrymore! Look, I want you to give your best imitation tonight.
My best? Well, if that's the one you want, okay.
All right, ladies. And mothers, please, attention. Ladies, please. I want to take this opportunity to welcome all you mothers on this happy occasion. We are going to have some entertainment by the mothers themselves. First of all, Mrs. Remley will deliver a short lecture on the evils of having children. After that, Mrs. Fay will give an impersonation of Rudy Valley singing the Whiffenpoof song. Following that will be the highlight of the evening. Mrs. Harris will give an exhibition of Indian wrestling.
Not yet, Mom. Keep your blanket on till it's your turn.
Simmer down, please. Quiet. Before the entertainment starts, I'd like to say a few words. You've all noticed the empty chair at my side. It seems that my mother...
Mr. Scott, don't say anything about your mother not being here. I hired an actress to play your mother.
Well, Mrs. Harris, you shouldn't have done
Oh, it's
that.
Too late. She's coming in now.
Hello, son.
Hello, mother.
It's so good to see you, son.
Did Alice tell you this is costing you $4 an hour?
It's good to see you too, Mother. What do you mean, $4 an hour?
Oh, you're looking splendid, son. And stop beefing. I usually get time and a half on Sunday.
Well, sit down next to me, Mother dear. I'll make a flat deal, $8 for the whole evening. Folks, I didn't expect Mother to show up, but she did, and I must say this is
Scotty,
a surprise.
Scotty,
you don't know it, but you're in for another surprise. I hired a mother for you, too.
You didn't.
Hello, son. Oh, it's so good to see you again.
Lady,
My boy. Folks, I want you to know that I'm so happy to be here with my son, the maker of those wonderful RCA Victor television sets, the set that has a clear, bright, steady picture.
All right, lady, all right. You can stop.
Let her talk. Please continue, you dear old commercial mother of mine.
Just a moment, Mr. Scott. Do you mean you have two mothers?
Yes, father was very rich. He overdid everything. Seriously, folks, I don't really have two mothers.
No, you have three, Scotty.
Three?
Scotty, I want you to meet your mother, Bubbles Laverne.
Hello, sonny boy.
But there are...
Oh, aren't you going to give your mother a great big kiss?
Now, look here, young lady. Oh, Mommy. Come sit on your little boy's lap.
Mr. Scott!
Oh, yes, Mother's Day, yes, of course. Folks, there has been a misunderstanding, but I think this is my last mother.
You want to bet?
Quiet, please. Now, I'd like everybody to join me in singing a little tribute to the one we all love best, our mother. Ready?
Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Wait a minute, stop the music.
Which one of you is Clyde Scott?
Mom, not Durante.
I'm Clyde Scott. Who are you?
I'm your mother. Now, pucker up your lips, sonny, and give me a kiss.
I don't want to kiss you.
And sharpen your nose, and we'll duel each other. I got a million of them, a million of them.
Look, lady, I'm loaded with mothers. I don't need you. Go away, please.
To think I'd ever hear this from my boy Umbriago. All right, I'll go. But remember, who will be with you when I'm far away? When I'm far, let me hear that high note. And who will be with you when I'm far away? Let me hear that high note again. And furthermore, I'll be with you. I'll be around by your side.
I didn't know Durante was a mother. folks, this is embarrassing. I realize it's a little unusual for a man to have four mothers, but I can explain. You see, my mother was supposed to be here, but her plane was grounded in Chicago, and these people, meaning well, went out and hired...
Hello, son, I'm here.
Oh, no, another one. Now, look, lady, I've... Mother! My real mother. Mom, I thought you weren't coming.
I got another plane out of Chicago, and here I am, son.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Mother. Folks, I want you to meet my real mother.
A likely story. Will you wait for him to applaud for his real mother, please? Of course, I don't believe it myself. Where did he hire? Imagine a guy hiring somebody to play his own mother.
Oh, but gentlemen,
I'm taking my mother out of here. Fold your teepee, Mom.
I'm leaving, too. Come along, Bubbles, dear.
Oh, now, don't everybody go. I tell you, this is my mother. This one isn't a phony. She's the real McCoy. Please come back. Oh, Mama. Everybody's left my party.
Now, don't cry, Clyde. We don't need them. We can have fun ourselves. Tell you what, you can take me where you took me last Mother's Day.
Can I?
Yes, we'll go to your factory and I'll help you polish the 17-inch screens.
Oh, Mama. You and I'll wipe.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Only RCA Victor could bring you an album like this. It's the exciting new album of six hit songs and the overture from the latest Rodgers and Hammerstein Broadway success, The King and I. Here are the songs that have taken Broadway by storm, superbly sung by four great RCA Victor recording stars, superbly recorded in one spine-tingling album by RCA Victor. To cast this brilliant The King and I album, RCA Victor has picked four singing stars such as have never before been assembled between the covers of one album. Think of it. Dinah Shore and Tony Martin from the popular field, Patrice Munsell and Robert Merrill from the operatic field. Only RCA Victor could ever present the marvelous music of The King and I, so expertly cast, so beautifully sung, so superbly recorded in all three record speeds. Get The King and I album at your RCA Victor dealer tomorrow.
Folks, you know what traffic accidents are. They're something that happened to other people, but not to you. That's the thinking of the majority of America's drivers, and that's the thinking that causes traffic accidents. Obey the traffic regulations and drive carefully. The care you take may save a life. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or a record, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television.
Stay tuned for Hedda Hopper on NBC.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. I was not going to do a podcast for this episode because I've done so many podcasts tonight. But this is such a special episode that I just had to do a podcast. First of all, before I get to this tonight's episode, let me run through last week's really quick. Last week's episode was insane. I can't think of an episode that had so many people on it. Let me just run down some of the people that are on it. Okay, you got Ronald and Benita Coleman on it. Of course, Mel Blanc's on it. He plays Polly, the train announcer, and the conductor. You've got Bea Bernadette playing Hilda. You've got Verna Felton playing Mrs. Day. You had Joe Kearns playing Ed, who, of course, manages the vault. You had Dick Lane playing Steve Bradley, which we always love. Dick Lane playing Steve Bradley, the fast-talking agent. We had Frank Nelson as the newsman. We had Jeanine Roos playing Phil's daughter again. I think this might be the last time this season that she plays Phil's daughter. And I really feel like this season is the first season ever to feature Phil's daughter. And she was featured on a bunch of episodes. And then the very next season, Phil gets his own show featuring his daughters and his wife. Not his real-life daughters, but I mean... And I think... I haven't checked that much, but I think Jeanine Roos is one of the, does play his daughter in his series as well. Who else we got? Let's see. Ann Stone plays Mrs. Wilson. John Tackerberry, one of the writers for the show, plays the auctioneer on Don's phone, and he also plays the taxi driver. So you had just a ton of people in that episode. Crazy. Go back and listen to it if you haven't had a chance to. That episode, it just goes and goes and goes, and there's one person after another, and there's all these little mini scenes. It's great. Now, tonight's episode... special for a few reasons. One, it's got the Quiz Kids on it again. They were featured, of course, a few weeks ago for a number of weeks on the 1941 set of episodes from 70 years ago. Of course, this is 65 years ago, so it's 5 years later. So they're a different group of kids on the Quiz Kids. But I think it went so well the first time that they thought they'd do it again 5 years later. And so that's awesome. That's great. But the real trick here, the real important thing is, Jack's dad is in the audience, and he would die the beginning of next season, basically. Let's see if I've got that down here somewhere. Yeah, October 14th, 1946. So this might be the last time that he ever actually is in the audience for one of Jack's shows. And Jack's tie with his dad ran, I guess, a haberdashery where they sold suits and things and did tailoring and so forth for people. And Jack always talked very, very fondly of his father. And I'll see if maybe I can find a picture of his father to put on tonight's episode. But seemed like a great guy, as Jack talks about him in the book of course, Sunday Nights at 7, that David somehow found in the airport. What's up with that, David? Somebody left behind Joan Benny's book, Joan and Jack's, at the airport in 2011. Who would think that would be even be possible that someone besides one of us, probably another podcast listener, if you're listening to this and you left the Joan Benny book at the airport, just know my other listener David got it, and so you can email me and I'll tell David he has to give it back. But anyway, and David, enjoy it for now and keep it safe. I think you probably already read it, but it's a great book. And I will point out, in that book, in one particular spot in the book, it talks about, I guess the most memorable story I can think of Jack and his father, is Jack wants his father to come and watch To Be or Not to Be, which features Jack. And, of course, Jack's biggest movie, his most... an A picture with Jack, you know, and so forth. His dad sees it and then, like, won't talk to Jack and is upset at Jack. And Jack's trying to figure out what's going on. Why is he upset at me? What's going on here? And finally, he just gets upset at Jack and says, I can't believe, you know, you played a Nazi. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I can't believe you played a Nazi on that role. They're evil. Why did you do that? Blah, blah, blah. He says, Dad, did you watch the whole movie? And, of course, Dad, he stormed out, like, early on. Well, then he watched the whole movie, and he loved it. He saw it over and over and over again. And he, of course, realized that Jack, in that movie, was playing a character who was impersonating a Nazi, but really was a good guy and the whole thing, and a great film. If you haven't watched To Be or Not to Be, the Jack Benny version, you need to watch that. Of course, Mel, come on, Mel, not Mel Blanc, the famous Mel, not Gibson either. Anyway, I'm drawing a blank on Mel's name, but anyway, the one who did Blazing Saddles and all of the wonderful pictures, the producers and so forth, Mel Brooks, there we go. Mel Brooks did a remake of it. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched the whole remake, so I'm not going to thrash on it. But from what I hear, it's not, of course, nearly as good as the original. And, you know, we're Jack Benny fans. We got to watch the original with Jack in it. So, anyway, enjoy tonight's episode. Enjoy spending a few minutes and maybe hearing some laughter from Jack's dad in the audience. And we shall see you next time. David, get out of the airport and fly safely, please. And we shall see you all later.
The Jack Benny Program. Quality of product is essential to continuing success. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, so round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. LSMFT, LSMFT, LSMFT. Sure thing.
That's right.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. From the Civic Opera House in Chicago, Illinois, the Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Chicago, which is just a stone's throw from Waukegan, we bring you something that was thrown back, and here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I'm very proud of this turnout here in Chicago. Why, this auditorium is packed. Do you know that there are 3,724 people sitting in the audience?
3,724 people? How do you know?
I counted them as they came through the door. I forgot the tickets were free. But that's all right. I'll get them at the soda fountain. Yeah? Leave it to me.
Well, Jack, since we're broadcasting so close to Waukegan, I presume your father is in the audience?
Yes, yes, he is, Don. He just got back from a trip to Florida, Havana, and Bermuda.
Oh, I thought your father spent most of his time at home.
He used to, Don, but since he won the I Can't Stand Jack Benny contest, he's traveling. He's been all over, you know.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I thought, according to the rules, your relatives weren't allowed to enter the I Can't Stand Jack Benny competition.
Don, when he heard about the contest, he disowned me. So it was perfectly legal.
Jack, I'll bet you didn't get many contest letters from the people in Chicago. They seem to like you here.
They certainly do, Don. Did you see that reception I got at the station? Why, they tore the shirt right off of me. Of course, I don't blame them. After all, it isn't very often they get to see two movie stars at the same time.
Two movie stars?
Yeah, I have a picture of Charles Boyer tattooed on my chest.
You have? Oh, I don't believe it. Open your shirt.
All right. There.
Well, sure enough, Charles Boyer. Jack, what's the idea?
It's a little trick I use for close-ups, you see. When I raise my arms, he smiles. You'll be surprised how this tattoo of Boyer on my chest has helped me to... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, everybody.
Gee, Mary, you're certainly looking cute today. I haven't seen you since we got off the train. How about a great big kiss?
Okay, open your shirt.
He's for close-up, for heaven's sake.
Mary, you mean Jack showed you that picture of Boyer on his chest?
Oh, he shows it to everybody. Jack's got the only shirt that works like a Venetian blind.
Mary, you're just jealous because of the big reception I got when I arrived in Chicago.
Big reception?
Yes, when the train pulled in there were thousands of people at the station. Mayor Kelly was there. There were flags flying.
And a big brass band, too.
Yes, sir, and it was all for me.
It was not. They were welcoming a carload of coal.
Oh, is that what it was?
You should have known when the band played, keep the home fires burning.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Anyway, Mary, here we are in Chicago. You know, this is known as the Windy City.
I know, Jack. Yesterday I saw you chasing your hair down the street.
It wasn't my hair I was chasing. It happened to be a cat.
A cat?
Yes, a cat.
Then why were you trying to coax it back with a saucer of Fit shampoo?
Mary, if you can't be nice to me, think of Boyer. Besides, there are a lot of my friends here from Waukegan.
Oh, that's right, Jack. Your hometown is close to Chicago, isn't it?
Close? Well, I could take a silver dollar out of my pocket and throw it as far as Waukegan.
Let me see you do it.
I will not. Throw a dollar. You tricked me into that once. The string broke. By the time I found it, inflation set in. It was only worth 63 cents. So don't try to...
Cheer up, Chicago. Your dim out is bad, but here comes Harris, that bright little lad. Yes. Turn on that switch and let me loose. Oh, that opera. This is my bread and butter, Jackson.
A nice way over there. Hey, Phil, what do you want to come in with an entrance like that for? This dim out in Chicago is a serious thing.
You're not kidding, Jackson. It is. Last night, Frankie, my guitar player, wrote out a check, and it was so dark, he signed somebody else's name.
What?
Now they got him charged with arson.
Arson? You mean forgery.
No, arson. That check was so hot it burned down the bank. Oh, Harris, you may not have bushy eyebrows, but you sure keep the country in an uproar.
Oh, fine, fine.
You know, Phil, if Frankie did a thing like that, he must have been drinking.
No, no. Libby, no, not my little Frankie. He's on the wagon. Why, he hasn't had a drink. That kid hasn't had a drink since
when?
Wait a minute, I'm looking at my watch.
That's what I thought. Phil, forget about Frankie. After all, we came to Chicago to do a show, so let's do it.
Yeah, good old Chicago. This is a great town, Jackson, but it's a little windy, isn't it?
Well, of course, that's why they call it the Windy City.
Yeah, yeah. Say, Jackson, what was that I saw you chasing yesterday?
Oh, that was a cat.
Then how come when you caught it, you shook it out and put it on your head?
I didn't put it on my head. It jumped up there.
Then why did it have bangs?
Because it jumped on backwards. It happened to anybody. And, Mary, if I were you, I wouldn't be so smart just because we're away from home. You know, Marshall Field is not unlike the May Company. You know that, ain't it? It won't be much fun working in the dark, either.
Say, Jackson, I meant to ask you, how come they got this dim out here in Chicago?
Phil, don't you know what's going on? Don't you read the papers? It's the kind of the coal shortage.
Yeah, isn't it awful?
Huh? Oh, hello, Dennis. Anyway, Phil, as I was saying, it's very easy to understand. You have to have coal to make electricity.
Last night it was so dark I couldn't find my way back to the hotel.
You couldn't, eh? You see, Phil, coal is the fuel they burn in boilers.
Three times I fell over a fire plug.
That's too bad. Now, they burn the coal to heat the water into steam, and then...
Finally, an old lady had to help me across the street.
Really? Then they use the steam...
You used to be a Girl Scout.
Good, good. Then they use the steam to spin the turbines, which generate the electricity.
Well, then how come we don't have a dim out in Los Angeles?
Well, out there we don't use coal, you see. We get our electricity from Boulder Dam.
Ooh, what he said.
Dennis, Boulder Dam is a place...
He said it again!
Look, Dennis, I'm trying to explain something to Phil. Will you just be quiet until it's time for your song?
Okay, but I don't know if I'll be able to sing good. I'm tired.
Tired?
Yeah, I had an awful time on the train. It's tough trying to sleep between Mr. Harris and his guitar player.
Oh, you mean too crowded?
No, they kept setting the bottle on my stomach.
Oh.
And they were using my ear for an ashtray.
Oh, well, don't worry, Dennis. You can get plenty of sleep while we're here in Chicago. Now, let's have your song, and then we'll... Come in. Yes?
Well, here we are, Mr. Benny.
Huh?
Well, don't you remember? You invited us over. We're the Quiz Kids.
Oh, yes, yes, the Quiz Kids. Look at that little one there. Take off your hats, kids. Take off your hats. Come right in. Come right, sit down and watch the show.
Watch the show? I thought you invited us over for a quiz contest.
A contest? You mean you kids want to compete with us? Don't be ridiculous. That would be like taking candy from a baby.
Oh, come now, Mr. Benny. You're not a baby.
That's not what I mean. When I gave you those four tickets, I merely wanted you to come over, enjoy the show, buy a few bottles of soda pop, and relax. That's all.
Oh, Jack, they're only kids. If they want a contest, let's give it to them.
But, Mary...
You can ask them easy questions.
What? Oh, sure. We'll play with them, have a lot of fun. Well, all right, kids, if that's what you want, we'll do it right after Dennis Day's song.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Benny.
You're welcome. Now, Dennis, we're ready for your song. What are you going to sing tonight?
Well, since this is Mother's Day, I'm going to sing Little Mother of Mine.
That's mighty nice, Dennis. And incidentally, you didn't forget to send your mother something, did you?
Oh, no. I sent her a big picture of me taken from the back.
From the back? Why in the world did you send her a picture like that?
Well, I wanted her to see how my new suit fits.
Oh.
She worries about things like that.
I know. Go ahead, let's have your song. While he's singing, I better think up some easy questions for the Quiz Kids, I bet.
Oh.
ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction, we are going to have a contest between the Lucky Strike Kids and the Quiz Kids. These children are here tonight to match wits with Mary Livingston, Don Wilson, Dennis A. and Phil Harris, who are all raring to go.
We'll learn them, eh, fellas?
That gives you an idea, folks. Now, I, of course, will be the quiz master.
You'll be the quiz master?
Certainly. When I went to school, I was smart as a whip.
Go on, you even needed a blueprint to open your lunchbox.
Oh, stop, will you? Now, come on, let's get started with our questions. First, we... Hold it a minute. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Berry, this is Rochester.
I'm glad you called, Rochester. Is the manager of the hotel find a room for me?
That's why I called. You got the bridal suite.
The bridal suite? Good, good. Did you move all my stuff in?
No, I'm waiting for you to get here.
Why?
I want to carry you over the threshold.
Oh, stop being silly and get my clothes unpacked.
I can't do that, boss, until I shovel the rice out of the room.
Shovel the rice out? Who had that bridal suite before me?
Tommy Manville.
How do you know?
There's a lawyer and a minister still sitting here.
Oh, well, hurry up and get that room cleaned up.
Okay, but it'll take hours and hours.
Oh, Rochester, there couldn't be that much rice there.
There couldn't. When I sit down in the middle of the room, I look like a raisin.
Never mind that. Never mind. Unpack my clothes and lay out a clean shirt. I'm going to the Chez Paris tonight.
Okay, I'll give you the one with the cellophane front so Charles Boyer can see the floor show.
Good, good. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye.
Oh, say, Rochester, you do what I told you about the candles? You know, there's a dim out here.
Yes, sir. I went to the store and bought 85 of them.
85 candles? How'd you get that many?
When I told the man they were for you, he just handed them over and said, "Tell Mr. Benny, happy birthday."
Well, that was very nice. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye.
And now... And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're all set for the battle of wits. The Quiz Kids versus the Benny Kids. And may the best team win.
You mean may the better team win?
Yes, yes. Better. I used to know that when I went to school, too. All right, let's go. And now I'll call the roll. First, the Quiz Kids. I'm Harvey.
I'm Harvey Bennett Fishman. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a junior at the South Shore High School.
Now, Joel.
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 9 years old, and I am in 5A in the Fulton Public School.
Oh, yes. You're the little fellow who's so clever in mathematics. Tell me, Joel, if an egg costs 5 cents, how much would a 3-egg omelet cost?
15 cents.
That's right.
He's never been to the Chez Paris.
Mary. You mean they charge more there?
Uh-oh, Boye's going to bed early tonight.
He is not. We can always go out for a walk. Now, Ruthie.
I'm Ruthie Duskin. I'm 11 years old, and I'm in the 8th grade at the University of Chicago Laboratory School.
Cute, isn't she? Now, Richard. Richard.
I am Richard Leitzler. I'm 6 years old, and I am in 1A at the Shakespeare Public School.
6 years old. Gosh, it seems like... I wish you could see him, folks, the listeners. Gosh, it seems like only yesterday that I was sick.
Gee, Mr. Benny, that must have been about 30 years ago.
31, Richard, 31. Have a bottle of pop on me. And now for the Benny Kid. Philip?
I'm Philip Harris. I live in Encino, California, and 3 nights a week I attend the Hollywood Recreation Pool Room.
Isn't he cute? What do you specialize in, Philip?
The four ball in the side pocket.
Very good, very good. And now, Mary?
I am Mary Livingston. I live in Beverly Hills, and I graduated from the May Company.
Oh, that's a lovely place. What did you learn there?
If you've worn the stockings, madam, you cannot exchange them.
Very good. Isn't she bright? Now, Donald.
I am Donald Wilson. I'm 6 years old, and I weigh 243 pounds.
He's the cutest one of all. What is your ambition, Donald?
I haven't any. That's why I'm so fat.
I thought so. Sit down, but easy. Now, Dennis?
I am Dennis.
Dennis Day. How old are you, Dennis?
I'll be one in December.
You'll, Wait a minute. You'll be one?
Yes, my mother's raffling me off.
Well, you're a turkey if I ever saw one. Huh? And now, folks, that you've met all the kiddies, we will proceed with the battle of wit. And for each question used, I will score 1 point for the side that answers correctly. And furthermore, I am personally awarding a prize of $10 to the winning team.
Well, that's fair enough.
You'll find out.
Very. Now, our first question this evening comes from Mrs. Leonard Fenchel of Chicago. Listen carefully, Harvey. A coleoptera, a musca domestica, and a lepidoptera were having a bit of a tete-a-tete on a screen door. Now, if you suddenly appeared with a fly swatter, one of the party would leave quite hastily. Which one would it be? The coleoptera, the musca domestica, or the lepidoptera? Have you got the answer, Harvey?
Well, the musca domestica would leave because it's the common housefly.
Oh. I mean, very good. Very good, Harvey. That's 1 point for the quiz kid. Now, Dennis, in order to be absolutely fair, I'm going to ask you a question along the same line. Now, listen carefully. What fly would you associate with butter?
That
might be a little tough, so I'll put it this way. Butter is associated with what fly?
The butterfly.
Ruthie, I didn't ask you. Dennis, you didn't hear that answer, did you?
No, I've got ashes in my ear.
Oh. Mary Livingston.
The butterfly.
Correct. And there's a point for the Benny kid. Both sides are even.
Wait a minute, Mr. Benny.
Sorry, Harvey, but we won on a technicality. Now, let's see.
Oh, brother, wait till you get on their show.
Mary, please. Now, here's a problem of mathematics sent in by Clifford Gordon, 10th Street, Waukegan, Illinois.
Well, gee, Mr. Benny, if it's a problem in mathematics, just ask Joel Kupperman.
Oh. I have another question. From Julia Sinekin, Waukegan, Illinois. I think you can answer this, Ruthie.
I'm ready, Mr. Benny.
Now, this problem is in the field of ichthyology.
Ichthyology? What's that?
How do I know? Anyway, Ruthie, name the five types of fishes in order of their development and give examples of each. Go ahead.
The Seismostomata, which are lamprey eels and hagfishes. Next comes the Elasmobranchi, the sharks and rays.
That's right.
Next, the Ganoidei, which are the armored fishes.
Uh-huh.
After that come the Teleostomi, the true fishes.
Yes.
And last of all, the Dipnoi, which are the lung fishes.
Isn't that amazing? Very good, Ruthie. Now, Philip Harris.
Yes, sir.
I think it's only fair that I ask you the same type of question. How do you spell fish? Come on, Philip, go ahead. How do you spell fish?
F-I-S-C-H.
That's right. That's right. Joe Fish. I know him well. That's 2 points for the quiz kids and 2 points for the Benny kids. Now, Richard, here's a problem in mathematics that comes from Dave Wolf of Chicago.
Well, Mr. Benny, if it's a problem in mathematics, why don't you ask Joel Kupperman?
Harvey, don't tell me how to run my contest. I'm going to ask Richard. Now, Richard, two men who earn $450 and $150 a month, respectively, decide to build a house and divide the cost in proportion to their income. Each of these two men has three sons who help with the work, but they cannot work full time. One works every day, the second every other day, the third every third day, and so on. Are you following, Richard?
Yes, are you?
all worry about me, Bub. Now, they all work the first day, and they finish the house. The second day, they all work together.
Each guy has three kids, huh?
Phil, go away, will you? You know from nothing. Now, Richard, one joint owner... had to pay $1,500 more than the other. How much did the house cost, and how long did it take to build it? Well, Dennis, I see you got your hand up. What is the answer?
Butterfly.
Right, that's three for the Benny kids and two
wait
for...
Wait a minute, Mr. Benny. We were on another question.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Well, Richard, have you got the answer yet? Richard?
Yes, sir. The house cost $3,000 and it would take 60 days to build it.
Excellent. $3,000 and 60 days is correct.
How do you know?
I trust Richard. Now, let's see.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
What is it, Dennis?
Button in the shirt. Charles Boyer is peeping out.
Oh, yes. Well, Richard earned another point for the quiz kids, making it 3-3. Now, Mary, here's your question.
The answer is 15.
Wait till I ask you. Now, Mary, concentrate. If you had 20 apples and your mother took away 10 and gave you back 5, how many would you have?
15. You heard me.
How did you know I was going to ask you?
Boyer told me.
Now, cut that out. Boyer told you.
I told you to button your shirt.
Quiet. Now, here's a question for Donald Wilson. Donald. Oh, Don.
Hey, Fatty.
Yes? Thank you, Richard. Now, Donald, here's a question from Bert Scott of Salt Lake City. Now, Donald, if you were on your way to a drugstore and the drugstore was 2 miles away and you could make it in 17 minutes, but you had to cross a bridge. And on this particular day, the bridge was washed out and you had to row a boat across the river.
How wide is the river?
350 feet. But there's a strong current carrying you downstream at the rate of 3.6 miles per hour. So it takes you an extra 23 minutes to reach the grocery store. Now, here's the question. What would you buy when you got there?
A package of Lucky Strikes.
Absolutely correct. Now, Donald, why would you buy that package of Lucky Strikes?
Because Lucky Strikes means fine tobacco.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. They're so round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Very good elaborated. The score is now 5-3 in favor of the Benny kid. Now, Harvey, here's a question for you.
Well, if it's mathematics, ask Joe Kupperman.
I just changed it to history. Now, listen. What did the United States purchase from Denmark after World War I?
The Virgin Islands for $21 million.
You're wrong. It was $25
million. It was $21 million.
The United States paid $25 million.
Jack ought to know. They borrowed the money from him.
Certainly. I remember when I took Woodrow Wilson down into my vault. Now, another question in history. Dennis, who was the first president of the United States? Come on, Dennis. Who was the first president of the United States? Come on. George?
My name is Dennis.
I know. Now, who was the first president of the United States? He was the father of our country. George
Jessel.
No! Anyway, I'm asking Dennis.
My name is George.
It is not. All right, Phil, I'll ask you. Who was the first president of the United States? George? What do women do on Monday?
Washing?
That's right. George, washing.
Yeah.
What am I sticking out at you?
Your tongue.
Correct. George Washington. The score is 6-3 in favor of the Benny kids.
We win, and the $10 bill goes to me.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. This is a frame-up.
Frame-up? These questions were on the up and up.
Well, you were cheating.
Oh, yeah? Well, it's a good thing Richard didn't say that. Believe me.
Oh, come on, kids. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. How do you like that? A bunch of sore losers. Play, genius.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. The famous tobacco auctioneers are on tonight's program, Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. I'm Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 49, out of 49, American.
Michael Rysdale speaking for Lucky Strike. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.